Welcome to the Relatable Finance Podcast. Here are your hosts, Joseph Carl and Shane Phillips.
Hello and welcome to today's episode of Relatable Finance. My name is Shane Phillips. I'm joined by my colleague and head of research, Joe Carl. We are members of the investment team at Providence Wealth Advisors, which is a financial planning and investment firm located in sunny South Florida. Today's topic is why invest in the stock market? And Joe, this is something we deal with on a daily basis. Get this question from clients, from friends, from family, about why should they invest their money. And I always go back to a former colleague of mine coming out and telling me straight up that she didn't believe in investing in the stock market. And I thought that was very interesting that it was something that either you could believe in or not believe in, like ghost. And I never really pictured it that way, but definitely a question we get a lot, and I thought we would cover it today.
Yeah, and just to clarify, the reason that you would invest in stocks is because they have historically shown to produce, above average returns when compared relative to other asset classes. And to Shane's point, I think that there are people that really shy away from making any investments in the stock market. And I think that kind of depends on their experience and their own personalities. But I think that there are a lot of people out there who look back at the financial crisis or hear what the Great Depression and the stock market crash then was all about, and they say, you know what, this is my hard-earned money. I don't want to experience that at all, so I'm just going to stay away from this altogether.
Yeah, and I mean, to an extent, I understand that. If you've had a bad experience with anything, you might not want to go back to it. But hopefully today we provide a little context and education on why maybe you should think about investing in the stock market. So the first thing we're going to talk about today is a phrase called the equity risk premium. And the basic idea here is if you are going to invest in stocks, which you do take on some risk, but hopefully you're going to be rewarded with making money over time. And it also has that idea of risk return. The more risk you're going to have, the idea is the more money that you should make long term.
Yeah, so and just to clarify, stocks have historically shown to produce higher returns than bonds over time. And what we're referring to here is a long-term time frame. And being able to really capitalize on this term, the equity risk premium, you need to have a longer-term time frame. It's not something that's always going to be true. There is going to be short periods of time where stocks are negative and that equity risk premium is not going to reward you. But what we're talking here is having the ability to invest over a longer-term time period and therefore being able to capitalize on the equity risk premium.
And the reason of that longer-term time frame is because of short-term fluctuations. And this gets to the idea of risk. So risk means different things for different people. I kind of think about it every day in the stock market as volatility. So the market goes up one day, goes down the next day, kind of what that ride feels like. So that's, to an extent, a type of risk. There's also paper losses. So you get your statement in the mail and you lost $10,000 that month. That's going to hurt, but that's just a paper loss. And then there's ultimately a permanent loss where you see that $10,000 drop in the market on your statement. You call somebody up the next day, sell everything, and you actually take that loss.
Yeah, and just to kind of add to what Shane just said, I think, again, this is something that you can try to capitalize on over a longer term time frame. If you're trading day in and day out, that's more of a trading mentality. That's not the equity risk premium that we're trying to discuss here. If the market goes down by a lot and you get nervous or emotional and you sell at the bottom, you've just realized that loss. And it's not going to be possible to really earn the equity risk premium over the long period of time. So what we're talking here is about being able to have an investment strategy that's longer term in nature and being able to stay invested in your stocks to earn that additional risk premium the stocks will provide.
Yeah, so I think it's going to help if we just look historically of what this may have been. So different people use different indexes or different markets to come up with what this equity risk premium is. But just to look at two simple things, stocks and bonds. And if we just use the time frame from 1950 to 2017, so about 67 years, on average over that time, stocks have gained about 11%. And bonds have gained just under 6%. So if we just use 11 and 6, on average, that equity risk premium over that time frame has been about 5% a year. So you can see, historically speaking, which we will talk about the future as well, but historically speaking, that extra return for that added risk over that time period of stocks over bonds has been about 5% a year.
Yeah, and just to bring it back to what I mentioned earlier, there were periods where the equity risk premium was much higher than the average that Shane just mentioned, and there are many periods where the equity risk premium was actually negative because you lost more money on stocks than bonds provided. So it all goes back to having a longer term time frame, and being able to implement that strategy is what's going to allow you to earn this additional return over time. It's not about getting in and out at the right time. It's not about buying and selling one day or the next. It's about implementing a longer term investment strategy.
Yeah, and I think a good example, once again from the past, and you mentioned this earlier, was the financial crisis we had in 07, 08, and 09. And just to use an example, if you invested, let's say, $100,000 at the top of the market in October 2007, and all of a sudden the market started following, by the time it hit the bottom in March 2009, you lost over half of your investment. So over $50,000 you have lost. And if you would have sold any time between October 2007 and March 2009, that's where you get that permanent loss of capital. So not only did you have a paper loss, you were nervous about the market, you didn't trust it, and whatever the case was, you sold, you actually took a loss. Now, others who saw that paper loss and were able to ride it out were able to possibly add money to the market with the idea it was going to come back. But if you had that same $100,000 investment and just rode it through, by the time you got to March 2012, you were back to even. So by no means is that a good return over that time frame, but it looks at one of the worst times that we've seen in the stock market's history. And as long as you're able to stay in the market, you were able to recover all that capital.
Yeah, and just to kind of add to that, a good sound investment strategy is one that's going to have periods where there are negative returns. If you try to implement an investment strategy that had nothing but positive returns all the time, you're going to be in something extremely safe like a savings account, and it's not really going to provide you with growth over the long period of time. So again, this is a longer term investment strategy. You need to be able to really ride out those ups and downs. So if you know inherently that you're not going to be able to ride out a big dip like that, because whether it be your goals or objectives or your needs, whatever the case may be, then take that into consideration on the front end and be able to ride that strategy out to really gain the equity risk premium.
Yeah, and by no means are we saying this is for everyone. Like you said, some people may not be able to stomach that ride, and thus they should be putting their money elsewhere where it is much more stable. So kind of, instead of looking at the past, if we kind of think about the future, when we're thinking about what that equity risk premium might be or different investment options going forward, we think it's smart to have your expectations in line with what kind of market expectations are. And then, not to say the market expectations are always going to be correct, but if the market is saying, you know, stocks should return 5% a year, and when you start investing in stocks, you think you're going to make 20% a year, there's going to be a disconnect there. So having an idea of what you're expecting from stocks, bonds, cash, what your expectations are, but then also what the market's expectations are, having those somewhat in line is something that's going to make that future ride much more manageable.
Yeah, so there's a lot of things to consider here: economic growth, inflation, Fed policy, corporate earnings growth, whatever the case may be, a lot of things to consider. But this is something that's really debated right now in the investment community. How high are stock, or what are stock returns going to be going forward? And at the end of the day, that boils down to economic growth. Higher economic growth produces higher corporate earnings, which justifies higher stock prices. Some question whether we're going to have as high of economic growth as we've had in the decades past. You know, per the statistics that you used, stocks have averaged around 11% going back to the beginning. If we don't have as high of economic growth as we've had in the past, stock returns are going to be a little bit lower. But that would also mean that bond returns are going to be a little bit lower. So the equity risk premium, the difference between bond returns and stock returns, may be the exact same.
Yeah, and you mentioned it there with what bond returns could possibly be going forward. And I think we're all very aware we're in a very low interest rate environment. Rates have been going up a little bit recently, but having those expectations moving forward versus what it has done in the past, having that right idea of what your options could be is something that you should have in mind before starting any investment process.
Absolutely. And we always, you know, try to make an emphasis to our clients that we work with that you really need to consider your goals and objectives when you're coming up with an investment strategy. And if this is for retirement, or if this is planning for a college education for someone, or whatever the case may be, if you can start with that end in mind and quantify it, it's going to allow you to build a much better investment strategy that's longer term in nature and not subject to all the emotions and the ups and downs of the market.
Yeah, and that's exactly it. Your the way you invest your retirement funds should be very different than how you invest your down payment for a house in 2 years. You should have a different mindset and an ability to handle risk if those time frames are so much different. So just to recap what we did talk about today in our episode of Why Invest in the Stock Market is we talked about the equity risk premium, which I just like to think of as the basic risk reward. The more risk you take, the more reward you should be expecting. We talked a little bit about those expectations, what we've seen historically, maybe what you should think about going forward, and then always having your goals, objectives, and time horizon in mind when you're making those investment decisions.
We hope you enjoy this episode of Relatable Finance. If you have any questions, please reach out to podcast@provwealth.com and check out our Twitter handle @financepodcast.
Provenance Wealth Advisors is not a registered broker-dealer and is independent of Raymond James Financial Services, Inc. Securities are offered through Raymond James Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisory services are offered through Raymond James Financial Services Advisors, Inc. Any opinions are those of Relatable Finance Podcast and PWA, and not necessarily those of Raymond James. The information contained in this report does not purport to be a complete description of the securities, markets, or developments referred to in this material. There is no assurance that any of the trends mentioned will continue or forecasts will occur. The information has been obtained from sources considered to be reliable, but Raymond James does not guarantee that the foregoing material is accurate or complete. Any information is not a complete summary or statement of all available data necessary for making an investment decision and does not constitute a recommendation. Investing involves risk, and you may incur profit or loss regardless of strategy selected. Diversification and asset allocation do not ensure a profit or protect against a loss. Investing involves risk, and investors may incur a profit or loss. Raymond James does not provide tax or legal services. Please discuss these matters with the appropriate professional.